morning. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements I want to bring special attention to. One is a movie night coming up next Friday night, May 27th. And it's a movie showing called Billy the Movie. And it's a chronicle of the early life of Billy Graham. So I think you find it very interesting. Also, we've got Sunday school classes that we're bringing attention to. We have offered three now. We've got a children's class, which is down in the classroom next to the in the hallway, like he's going to the pastor's office on the right. Then we've got the joint men-women's class in the up in the chapel, and then Annie teaches a women's class in the Sunday school room almost behind the sanctuary here.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have you come and join us for Sunday school. And also, there's one other thing that's not in the bulletin, and we're going to try to make this a part of our service sometime in the future, is that on your envelopes in the pews, there's a place, if you want to give something to missions, you can put your tithe in there or to make it out to missions and just put it in the normal envelope and it will go to the missions. But we have a lot of missionaries that we do support, and we just like to keep it out in front of everybody that would appreciate the offers and the help. Any other announcements? If not, then take your bulletin. Let's do the unison reading. It's printed there together. And it reads,
"For me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all his works."
Now, if you would, those of you who can stand, please stand, and we'll do the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just asking that we be a sanctuary for you. Lord, we ask that you be with us during this hour of worship. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to draw closer to you and be thankful that we're able to come in this place to worship. Lord, we ask you to be with those who couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason. And there's many in our congregation who are shut in and can't be out. And Lord, we just ask that your presence be with them. Now forgive us for our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you would, please turn to number 2. Praise the Lord, the Almighty. Be seated. And as you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms this morning. We're going to do question 8, 9, and 10. I'll read the question and you do the answer that's printed in bold in your bulletin. And question 8, how doth God execute his decrees?
God executes his decrees in works of creation and providence.
What is the work of creation? How did God create man?
God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures.
And as we come to a place of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to give a portion back to you that you so graciously give to us. Now help us, Lord, as a church to use these funds wisely and to proclaim your name both here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We have a great opportunity on this beautiful Sunday morning to worship our Lord and to bring to him those needs and prayer requests of our congregation and of those that we love. So we are really grateful this morning to see Leanne back here with us and thank the Lord for his healing and continued healing for Leanne. And Leanne shared with me that her brother Jeff right now is also experiencing some difficulties with a blood disorder. Is that pretty much right? And Jeff needs our prayer. And so we're going to remember to pray for Jeff this morning. We also want to continue to pray for John, for our music director, who is not with us again this morning. And he's suffered a back injury. And we want to pray for John that the Lord would continue to heal him. Also for Tom, we're glad to have him here with us and that the Lord continues to heal him. And we know there are others, and we lift them up to the Lord in prayer. And so we thank for Zoe back there, and praise the Lord for his continued healing. I know she's got, it's this coming Friday, isn't it, that you have a Monday, okay, tomorrow, for another doctor's appointment. We want to continue to pray for Zoe. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift these things up to him. Let's bow as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is such a comfort to know that we call on one who is the sovereign God of all the universe. That, Lord, you know our hearts, you know our thoughts, you know our needs. And we come to you as your people and cry out to you as our God. We pray especially for those special needs that we've mentioned here this morning. We ask for continued healing for Leanne from her knee surgery. And we also pray for her brother, Jeff, and ask you, Lord, to touch his physical body. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would heal him from this disorder that he has. And we ask, Lord, and ask that you would completely heal him and keep him under your care. Our Father, we pray for Zoe this morning and ask you to heal her with this broken collarbone. We ask that you would mend that together and heal it completely. Lord, for John, for our music director, we pray, Father, that your hand would rest on him and that you would heal him, that you would give him relief from the pain that he's been suffering from this back injury. Lord, we thank you for Tom and for the healing that you've given him, and we pray for continued healing and the pain that he goes through. We ask that you would relieve him of this. And Lord, we also pray for those others that we're not aware of, or those that we are beyond our immediate family here at church. And we ask that your hand might go out, your Holy Spirit would go out and touch each one. We ask for relief from pain and strength. Father, we also pray for those who are suffering from emotional difficulties and for worry from struggles with the circumstances of this world. And Lord, we pray and ask that you would help us to cast our anxieties onto you, knowing that you care for us. Our Father, we do pray for our nation. We ask you, Lord, to heal our land. It would be so wonderful if once again we could stand up and say one nation under God. But Lord, we pray that you would heal the divisions and the hurts and the difficulties. And Lord, help us to move forward under your hand. Father, for the struggles going on in this world, we pray for those people that are displaced, those people who are without homes, and Lord, especially in the Ukraine and the difficulties that they're going through right now. Lord, we ask and pray that you would relieve that suffering that they're going through. Father, we see the hurts and the problems all around us, and we know that there is no human answer, but we serve an almighty God. And Lord, apart from you, we have nothing. So we ask that our hearts would be turned to you in this hour, that we would call upon you as our Lord and as our God, and that we would worship you with all of our hearts. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 94. Praise Him, praise Him.
That'll get the blood flowing. Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and it's found in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10 and reading verses 19 to 27. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 27. And hear now the word of God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, some years ago, Annie and I were able to move out to the area that's known as Spring Creek or Trust, North Carolina. And this is an area where Annie's in-laws, Annie's parents and her grandparents and whatever have lived for generations. And so people there would know her, but of course, I was a newcomer in that area. And what made matters worse was I was a Yankee, and so that really presented some problems. But I had a difficult time when we first moved there in trying to understand what people were saying. You know, I think they were using English, but it was hard for me to differentiate some of those things. You know, when we first started, somebody asked me if I was going to have a garden, and I wasn't sure what a garden was. And so when things like that would happen, I would ask Annie, you know, well, what are they saying? She said, garden. Oh, and then wanted to know what I was going to plant in my garden. And, you know, I told them, well, some beans and some whatever. And they say, well, are you going to plant any bristle sprouts? And I wasn't quite sure what a bristle sprout was. So, you know, it's funny, but a lot of these things are colloquialisms. They had their own expressions and their own way of saying things. And over the years, you know, it's been very endearing to me to hear people and to hear the old timers speaking, because they're using terms and phrases that I'm not familiar with. You know, there are many old sayings that are actually attributed to the Bible, which really aren't found in the Bible, and we're familiar with some of these. For instance, God helps those who help themselves. You know, well, that's not in the Bible, although a lot of people think that it is in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. Also, a phrase like cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, even though that may be true, in some cases, it's not really found in the Bible. In fact, many of these came from Benjamin Franklin in his periodical that he put out from time to time called Poor Richard's Almanac. And people would take these sayings that he would come up with and they would repeat them over and over again. And then over a while, they'd say, well, that's in the Bible. That's biblical. No, it's not biblical. The theory behind it or the point that it's making might be biblical, but that phrase is not coming out of the Bible. You know, there is one old saying, if we could call it that, that actually does come from the Bible. And that's red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And our family grew up not far from the coast, about 30 miles away from the ocean. And so, you know, we used to hear that a lot. Red sky in the morning, oh, it's going to rain today. It's going to be a bad day. Red sky at night, tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. Well, that is actually in the Bible. Jesus quoted that. This is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. And it says this, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And basically, Jesus was telling them, you know, you're using these little formulas to be able to predict what the weather is going to be like, but you can't interpret the signs that are all around you that are predicting what's to come, what's going to happen. And there are signs all around us, things that are taking place all around us that should be pointing us to the fact that something big is on the horizon. Not sure what it is. I know there are a lot of people that say, well, these are the end times and we only have a little bit of time left. And that may be true. We don't know that, though, for a fact. There have been desperate times in the past that we've gone through. And I will agree with you that some of the things that we've gone through in the past don't even compare to what we're facing today. And I'm sure some of you are familiar now with this new threat that's coming down called the monkey flu, and how our government has already purchased millions of doses of vaccine against the monkey flu. Something else now to worry about, as if the shortage of baby formula wasn't enough, or the rising price of gas wasn't enough, or some of these other issues. Now we have other problems that we have to face and say, well, how are we going to get through this? Well, a lot of these are just signs of the times. And when Jesus spoke with his disciples and they asked him, Lord, how are we going to know when the end is coming? You see, that's a question that we've always asked as believers. How long, Lord? What's going to happen? What's ahead? And Jesus said this. This is in Matthew chapter 24. And I would encourage you, if you're concerned about end times, listen to Jesus. Listen to what he said. This is Matthew chapter 24. There's so many people out there, so many evangelists on television, all these other people that are saying, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And, you know, why don't listen to the mouth of the Savior, Matthew chapter 24, and what it says. And this is what he told his disciples, beginning in verse 6. He said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Now he goes on, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we can identify with some of these things and say, yeah, I can see that. All we have to do is watch the news and we can see some of these things being played out right in front of us. And we know that these things are happening. And Jesus shared these things with his disciples and with his followers basically to say, man cannot answer these problems. We're never going to find a solution to these from a human standpoint. There's only one answer to the problems that we face, and that's to draw near to God. And the time has come for us to draw near to God. Well, what does that mean? What's it mean to draw near to God? Well, if you look at the word that's used literally, it basically describes the function of the priests. It talks about how the priests prepared themselves to lead the people of God. And they would go through, they had their own ritual, their ritual washings and the way that they dressed and everything else. It was all in preparation for drawing near to God. The literal translation means, let us be priests. You know, here we, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And what Peter was talking about when he says that you're a nation of priests, in other words, you're people that prepare themselves to meet the living God. You don't just assume anything. You don't just take it for granted. You actually prepare yourself. You take time and energy. You know, it's very painful to know that there are people, because of the pandemic and because for week after week, they didn't go to church. They just stayed home and they watched television. They watched other people worshiping God on television. And now the time comes for them to come back to church. It's like, well, you know, it's so much easier just to stay home. It's so much, you know, we don't have to get, we can watch church in our bathrobe. You know, we don't have to go through everything to get ready. We're just going to stay at home. Well, the truth of the matter is, God didn't call us to worship together because it was convenient. In fact, if you look at other cultures, you can see that many of them walk many, many miles. They'll leave early in the morning to walk to a place where they can worship with others. Because worship is not only about what we get out of it, it's about what we're able to give. How we're able to participate. How we're able to build others up. And you can't do that sitting in front of a television set. What's it mean to draw near? It means, let us be priests. You see, if you look at the construction of the tabernacle, the way that God constructed the tabernacle, and I'll tell you, he went into nth detail, minute detail, constructing the temple. He told them exactly what to use, exactly what kind of wood to use, everything. And the way that he designed it was, you know, first of all, he had an inner court. He had a place where it was that only the priest could go. It was called the Holy of Holies, and it was right in the center of this whole thing. And it was separated from the rest, and only the high priest once a year could go in there to commune with God. And then around that, there was what was called the inner court. And the inner court was a place where only Jews could go. Only Jewish men, for the most part, could enter into the inner court. And then around the inner court, there was the outer court, and that was open to women and children and to people who were converting to Judaism, and it was more little. So if you think about it, the big one was the outer court, and then as they went into the outer court, they had to go into the inner court. And in the inner court, only the high priest once a year could enter in to the Holy of Holies. And what it pictured in the minds of the Jews, and should for us, is that there was a drawing nearer to God, a moving forward into the presence of God, a progression of faith. But you know, the death of Jesus turned that around. The death of Jesus opened up the Holy of Holies. And that's what we read about this morning in our text. And that is that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. It was saying, God was saying to his people, I want you to come to me. I want you to enter in. Don't stay out in the outer court. Don't even stay in the inner court. I want you to come into the Holy of Holies. I want to be able to commune with you and talk with you. What a tremendous blessing we have. And really, how much effort do we really have to expend to get ready and to come to a place where together we worship the Lord? There are some people that would give anything to have the convenience that we have, that we take for granted every Sunday morning. The death of Jesus gave us access to this so that we can draw near to God. In fact, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. It says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The reason why I say the time is coming to draw near to God is because our time of need is drawing closer. All we have to do is look at the signs, look at what's happening. We have to realize that most of our food is delivered to our stores by truck. And when fuel prices for trucks have almost doubled, and in some cases tripled, we realize that these truckers can't make the deliveries, and if they do, they have to charge a lot more for what they deliver. That's just common sense. When we find out that there are things happening that are shutting down our food supply, it doesn't take a genius to realize that over time, things are going to run out. And we will experience need. We will experience lack. It's just as clear as can be. People say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. That'll never happen. Just look at what's happening right now. And really, there's only one way that this can be remedied, and that's through our Father, our Heavenly Father, as we turn to him, as we draw near to him. You know, last week, I talked about worship and about how important it is that we bow before God and worship him and praise him. That's how we draw near to God. And that's the thing. How are we supposed to draw near to him? What are we supposed to do to draw near to him or to get close to God? Well, if we look at what we read this morning in verse 22, it says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, this is the way the priests would prepare themselves to draw near to God. They would purify themselves ritualistically, symbolically. They would cleanse themselves. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that as we approach the Lord, we need to do the same thing. There has to be that giving away, that shedding of the old man, where we simply confess to the Lord, "Lord, I have not lived the way you want me to live. And I realize that. It's not what I want. But I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me." You see, we have such a great promise in Scripture that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what God wants us to do as we approach him. Not dragging along all of our problems and all of our rebellion. No, it's to get rid of all that. Get rid of it. And come to him with a pure and a sincere heart. And I believe that as we do, we're able, from a pure heart, to lift up our hearts to God, to praise him and to worship him. You know, how do we get close to other people? Think about a young couple. You know, when they first meet and hearts are popping and, you know, they're looking at maybe a great future together. What do they do to each other? Well, first of all, they communicate, they talk. And usually there's praise involved, where the woman might tell the man, you know, you're such a wonderful person, you're so strong, you're so this, you're so that. And the man might tell the woman how beautiful she is and how special she is and how precious she is. And these are all words of endearment. And what does it do? It draws them together. It's the same thing when we come before the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that God's Spirit inhabits the praises of his people. Well, what's it mean? What does that mean? That means that as we lift up the name of the Lord, as we praise him, that it's something that God relishes. It's something that he loves. Think about our children. When our children let us know how much they love us and how special we are to them, it just fills our hearts. When our grandchildren wrap their arms around us and tell us that they love us, it just melts our hearts. This is all part of drawing near. It's all part of solidifying that bond between one another. And it's the very same thing in our relationship to God. You know, there was an old song that they used to sing, "How long has it been since we prayed to the Lord, since we spoke to him, since we poured out our heart to him? How long has it been?" It should be something that we do on a regular basis. You know, if our Lord and Savior had to find time early in the morning and sometimes late at night to communicate with the Father, how much more should we? And yet days or weeks, maybe months might go by and we can't even remember the last time that we called on the name of the Lord and poured out our heart to him. It's almost as like he doesn't exist. Think about a marriage. If you spoke to your mate as often as you speak to God, how long would your marriage last? Probably not long. Well, the first thing he says in verse 22 is to draw near to God through a sincere heart, getting rid of the negative. And then the second thing in verse 23, he says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is faithful, who has promised is faithful." And what that means is that no matter what we're seeing with our eyes, we're holding on to our faith. We're holding on to who God is, and we honor him in our hearts. There's a lot happening right now that might cause us to doubt. And it hurts me when I hear about people who are shaking their fist at God because they're not seeing him provide the way they want him to provide. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're reading through 1 Corinthians. We've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and there it talks about the children of Israel and how they shook their fist at God because he didn't do for them what they wanted. And how God had to teach them a horrible lesson as a result. And it hurts me when I hear people that believe that they can just yell and scream at God and shake their fist because they didn't get what they wanted. Dangerous. God is always merciful, and he always provides for his people. No matter what we're facing right now, God will provide. And we can count on that because that's who he is. He is a Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides for his people. So we hold fast to our confession. And what did Jesus tell his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Lilies of the field, the birds of the air, the food, raiment or covering, the basic necessities of life. And he says, "Aren't you worth more than these flowers and birds?" Of course. And he will provide. The Bible is full of times when God says, "I will provide for you." So we hold fast our faith, our confession of faith. We don't waver in that. And then the next thing that the writer of Hebrews says is that in light of all this, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And what he's saying there is, don't skip out. Don't give up and thumb your nose at the church. That's very dangerous. Of course, there are times when we may get upset or whatever, but the church is not about what we get. It's about what we're able to give. The church is a place where we pour out. We don't just suck it all in. What can I do to build the church? What can I do to build others up? You know, there's an expression now, and I've heard it several times. It says, pay it forward. You heard that expression? Pay it forward. It means that instead of waiting for somebody else to bless you and then give back, you give to them first. And then if they don't give back, that's up to them. But you're always paying forward, always giving it forward. And I believe that's what the Bible says. It always talks about building up, strengthening one another. And that's what we're all about. That's what we should be all about as a congregation. Seeing what we can do to build others up. I always like the illustration of the seas in the Holy Land, the bodies of water in the Holy Land. And you have the Sea of Galilee, which is vibrant and full of fish and life. And the Jordan River flows in, and every drop that flows into the Sea of Galilee flows out again. And it flows out and goes all the way down, and there's the Dead Sea, because every bit that flows into the Dead Sea stays right there. And as a result, it's dead. No fish can survive there. And above the Sea of Galilee, up higher up in the mountains, there's a basin there, like there once was a body of water, but it's all been drained out. There's nothing there because it all flowed out. Great illustration of what life is as a Christian, as a believer. Because if we're constantly giving out and never taking in, we're going to dry up. And the sad truth is there are people that we know and love that have given and given and given. Now they're all dried out. They're dying. There are also people that every drop that's flowed in stays there. They've never given out and they're dying. But there are people in the middle. Every drop that goes in goes out. And that's church. That's what church should be. A body of believers that's giving out every bit of as much, if not more, than what they're taking in. It's to encourage and build up. It's so important. It's so vital. So what's the benefit of this? Let's say that, okay, we take this for heart now, and I want to draw near to the Lord. I want to draw near to him. I want to take time, and I want to praise him, and I want to tell him how wonderful he is and how much I love him. Now, that's easier for women than it is for men. I'll guarantee you it is. It's hard for a man to get on his knees and say, I love you, Jesus, only because it's sort of a man-to-man thing. And it may not be, we're not thinking of him as the Almighty God sometimes. We're thinking of him as a man that was walking. And yet, when we stop and think about it and what he's done for us, how could we not love him? But to say, Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Our Heavenly Father, for all that you've done, for all that you are. You know, if we want a model for that, just read Psalms. David did that all the time, praising God for who he is. And we can train ourselves to do that. But what's the benefit of doing it? Why should we do it? Well, we read in James chapter 4, verse 8. James tells us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, why would that be important? Well, I'll tell you something. As times get darker, as the problems, real problems begin, not just in our home, but in every home, and as we're struggling to try to make sense of everything that's happening, we need an Almighty God. We need him. I would just use the illustration of September 11th, of 9/11, when those towers came down and the fear that came on to people. And what did they do? They turned to God. They came to churches and they filled churches. We had our congressmen kneeling on the steps, praying to God and calling on America to pray to God. Times grow darker. We need the assurance that there's something much greater than we are that we can turn to and call on. You see, God alone can see through all the chaos. He can see through all the darkness and all the struggles. And he knows the path that we need to walk on, because there is a path. We're told in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Whatever we may be facing in the weeks, months, possibly years ahead, there's a path through it all. And as we draw near to the Lord will draw near to us, and he will make the way clear. He'll show us how to walk, how to progress through this time period. God alone sees through it, and God alone can provide during that time for our needs. You know, David saw a lot in his life, King David. And he said this. This is in Psalm 37, verse 25. He said, once I was young, and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's Psalm 37, verse 25. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will protect us. He'll provide for us. You know, Jesus even taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread, because God would provide. And he told them to pray, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. We say sometimes evil, but many translations say the evil one, the one who's putting all this together. And I'll stress again that when we look at what's happening right now, there's only one source to this. It's not men. It's not a human agency or whatever. We have a very real enemy who wants to destroy us as believers. And we lay the charge at his feet. And this is the one that Jesus said, pray that our Father will protect you from the evil one. And we need to do that. Literally, we need to do that. Lord, protect us. Because there's something out there now that wants to kill us. It wants to starve us. It wants to bankrupt us. It wants to destroy us. Protect us. Keep us from this. We draw near to God. He is our fortress and our strength. We draw near to Him. You know, Jesus gave an illustration of the fig tree. This was in Matthew 24, right at the end, after He talks about what they're to look forward to. And He gives them the parable of the fig tree, and He says this. This is Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33. And it says this: "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. See also, when you see all these things, you know that He is near at the very gates." And I believe that we look around, we see the signs, we see the things that are happening, and it's time for us now to draw near to God. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank You and we praise You that You've placed us here in a world of darkness, and yet You've not left us alone. You've promised to be our light, that You would shine light on the path that we could follow You. Lord, we pray for Your strength and Your conviction, that during these times we would not give up and we would not give in, but we would stand strong on Your word and draw near to You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you would, please stand and turn to 165, which is a popular hymn among us here, "Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer."
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love Him. Amen.